Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is Ian Rappaport audio courtesy of NFL Network. That report was first from Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic that Mike Vrabel will be interviewing with the New York Jets today. On wherever their facility is. I don't know if it's actually New York, New Jersey. That does not matter. The New Jersey Jets today. He will be interviewing for their head coaching job. Of course, Vrabel was on staff with the Cleveland Browns as a consultant this year. I think that he's somebody that will be getting a head coaching job. And I think the way that this affects the Browns is he will, in all likelihood, be taking somebody or somebody's from the Browns coaching staff with him wherever he ends up, whether that's New York, whether that's another opening that arises this offseason. I don't know where Mike Vrabel is going to be. If I were him, I would not want to go to New York, but that's neither here nor there. But I do think that this affects the Browns because their coaching staff will look different next year. And I think part of it's going to be because Mike Vrabel is going to take somebody with him. Maybe that somebody will be special teams coordinator Bubba Ventrone.
Bye, Bubba.
Maybe it'll be Ken Dorsey. I don't know who it's going to be.
Well, he's got the tie with Jim Schwartz.
Right. I don't think the Browns are, even though defensively the Browns have underachieved this year, I don't think that they're willing to let Schwartz walk away. Right. Because for a coordinator to leave, the Browns have to be okay with it.
Right.
It's not one of those things where, you know, say he wants to hire an offensive line coach, whether it's with the Browns or someone else, and make that person the offensive coordinator, their existing organization can do nothing to stop it because it's a promotion. But lateral hires can be stopped by organizations, and I do think that the Browns probably would not stop Bubba Ventrone leaving. But if Jim Schwartz were wanting to go be the defensive coordinator for Mike Vrabel, that's where I think the Browns would probably have issue.
I actually want Vrabel to want a position coach, because it tells me, hey, it wasn't all horrible.
I don't think that's a bad thing. Yeah. Yeah. I think that would actually be a good thing, saying, hey, because you do.
He's probably the most respected, not employed NFL coach right now.
Oh, without a doubt. And even, I think that a lot of people across the NFL
feel more than Belichick as far as like, well, a future.
Future, yes. You know, of course. Not all time.
Right, right.
Obviously.
Although he did outcoach him in that playoff game.
He did do that. People don't forget, Owen. People don't forget. I will never forget. I remember watching that on my couch. I was living in Minnesota at the time. Like, wow, Mike Vrabel's handing it to Bill Belichick right now. It was awesome. But I do think it's a sign of a healthy staff. It's a sign of a good staff for assistants to be poached. And having Mike Vrabel in the building for the year that he spent here could lead to that. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know what positions it could be. I think the special teams coordinator, Bubba Ventrone, makes some sense. I don't think they'll let Jim Schwartz leave. And I think that one way or another, Ken Dorsey could be gone. And just in talking with Daryl Ryder about that last segment, I think it makes a lot of sense for the Browns to move on from Ken Dorsey, make him a one and done offensive coordinator. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Browns to have Kevin Stefanski calling plays again next year, because over the course of his tenure here, I think that's kind of the thing that he has done best. And I think that's the thing that I'd like to see him get back to doing.
And you guys talked about like a guy going from being a play caller to not being a play caller. Does he take it back? Andy Reid's done it. Now his coordinators have moved on to head coaching jobs, but when Nagy went and took over Chicago, Andy Reid took back the play calling.
Mm-hmm. Instead of giving it to Eric Bieniemy, right, at that time, right?
Correct. And he did it with Doug Peterson, too, as an offensive coordinator, where he kind of took it and went back in. Now, Andy Reid's,
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the best
in the game right now.
I feel like that's a bit of an exception to the rule, though, in some senses, because.
But the thing, Brian Billick's famous for saying the thing that gets you hired is the thing that gets you fired. And the thing that got Kevin Stefanski hired was his play calling, right?
Right.
Being a play caller, being a guy that has held every offensive, position, coach position, worked all the way up, was with the Vikings for over a decade, and then, came here and I don't like to talk about the two-time coach of the year thing anymore, But he won it because of his play calling.
Right, because of what they were able to do offensively both in 2020 and last year.
I don't think there's a problem with him taking it back and finding another guy that can mesh with him more like Van Pelt did than what Ken Dorsey has been this
year. I wonder if Van Pelt could be back. I wonder if that could be a realistic...
Especially if they blow things up in New England.
Yes. Like, I like Drake May as a quarterback, but let's be real. Things didn't go well there with the Patriots. That could be a staff that's looking at one and done and some turnover there. I wonder if Van Pelt is a realistic option to come back, because I have no reason to believe, while the Browns moved on from Alex Van Pelt, I have no reason to believe that his relationship with Kevin Stefanski suffered because of it. And if that's the case, then you do see Kevin Stefanski calling plays again.
Well, there could, you know, even if maybe personally he took it, yeah, I would take it bad. I mean, the guy owned a house here. He wasn't just, you know, renting.
Right.
He was here for, you know, he had planted roots in Northeast Ohio and has to move. I'm sure there'll be something. But when it gets to professionalism and all that, they both seem to be pinnacle of professionalism to me.
Right.
Stefanski and Van Pelt. And I think there could be an agreement there. Time will tell on that stuff. Hopefully we'll know by Monday if we're making changes.
Yes, we will know soon. I do wonder how much of that situation was trying to get the most out of a quarterback, in which they will not be trying to get the most out of that guy anymore, because that guy stinks and everyone can realize it. 216-474-0092. Larry in Elyria, you're next up on the frame. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Danny Owen? How you guys doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Fantastic. Yeah, I listened to the interview there with Darryl. I, you know, 1,000% agree with him. I go back, Coach Stefanski, get the running game back together, find a good running back in a draft, and more than run, they need some other, you know, wide receiver to look at that position also. But I totally agree with him. Establish the run, play action off of that, and the quarterback position, you guys, Dan, that's the key, though. I mean, you got to have a quarterback can utilize the whole offense. I mean, everybody. And I don't know, it's going to be hard to decide, but I know you, I was talking to you guys about Kirk Cousins, but I know I like Justin Fields. I get that, too, but I know you're going to say he doesn't fit the system. But is there a possibility, you think, Danny, that if Coach Stefanski got Justin in here, and try to make him work under center, possibly, he might be able to work out or not.
I mean, maybe, and Larry, I appreciate the call. I don't know what Justin Fields' NFL skill set necessarily looks like in his peak form, and I think a lot of that is not necessarily Justin Fields' fault, because you look at the way that he was handled in Chicago, and I know, Owen, you just got done talking about Matt Nagy, but that guy did not do Justin Fields any favors with the Bears, and I think that his development was stunted a little bit. But I also look at it and say, you know what? If Pittsburgh could pick which quarterback was better for them this year, not just for this year but for the future, they would have preferred Justin Fields have gone out and grabbed that job by the throat and taken command of their offense, because that would have been the best option, maybe not for this year specifically, because Russell Wilson has been good, but that would have been their easiest path forward in the future. But because of Russell Wilson's age, this is not a long-term solution. Justin Fields could have been. So the Bears giving up on Justin Fields is one thing, but then watching the Pittsburgh Steelers do the same, not give up on him, but also realize, hey, if he were the quarterback of the future, I think things would look different in Pittsburgh right now than they do. So that it concerns me once if a guy is given up on by multiple organizations, especially when one of those organizations is a team that, you know, we don't like here, but I think we do have to have a healthy respect for the way that the Steelers have operated. So I think that gets a little complicated. I don't know if he's the answer. I like him as a lottery ticket, but I don't know that putting him under center is the way to do it. 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in. That's 216-474-0092.